Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on here on a night that has been a fun one here on ESPN 97.5 with the Dynamo winning the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Quick word here from my good friends at Bud Light. The friendship between Bud Light and Texas goes back over 30 years, ever since the first Bud Light rolled out. And that came out of the Houston Brewery. You know where that is, over on I-10 on the east side. Enjoy it responsibly. AB, Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas, all special edition Texas packaging, brewed here in Texas. I guarantee you, a few Bud Lights were drank last night over at the King's Court after the Dynamo winning the title. Also, a quick word here for King's Court. I had just mentioned that along with Bud Light. Edo is the place. King's Court is at 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. That's where El Batallón starts their march to the games. Get over to King's Court. 13 monitors. This weekend they'll have Chelsea-Liverpool. All your soccer-watching desires are covered. Rooftop deck is spectacular. Get in there. Say hello to Jay. And it's kingscourthouston.com. Great place in Edo, right next to the stadium to watch the game. Great friend joins me right now. He's J.P. Delacamera. He is going to receive the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame Award. It's called the Colin Jose Media Award, and it's a rarity. Only a few people have gotten this award over the years. J.P., as many people know, is called, you name it, he's called it when it comes to soccer in this country. 9 World Cups, 5 Women World Cups, Women's World Cups, Olympics. I personally have been fortunate to become what I hope is a good friend of his, and also a colleague. And he has been a guy that throughout his career, I do have to make mention of this, he's one of the guys that will pay it forward. He's one of the good guys. He's helpful to everybody. He's been helpful to me. And he joins us now, J.P. Delacamera. J.P., how are you?
Glenn, that's an understatement to say you're a friend. You're a definite longtime true friend, and I appreciate our friendship.
Well, me too, and it was great that you and I got to watch the game last night. I'm sorry about the Union, because J.P. also is the head man for the Union. But I want to talk about you right now and your career here. This is an incredible honor you're about to get, J.P., and I'm very glad to see that you're getting recognized for this, because you are, in some ways, much of a pioneer.
I appreciate that, Glenn. I think that I'm honored by it, because the only other broadcaster that's won that is Seamus Mallett, who has been in the past one of my broadcast partners. I'm the first play-by-play guy to go in there, and I do appreciate that. But there's so many other, you know, great names on there. Both Trekkers are in there. You know, Paul Gardner. I'm going to forget names. Alex Giannis, George Bessie, Paul Kennedy. You know, people that have contributed so much to the game, and I apologize that I can't remember all of the award winners, but it's a great list. I'm honored by it. I'm humbled by it. You know, it was nice to be voted in, and I think it's, you know, it hit me when I got the call on Saturday. It hit me more on Monday when the media release came out, and I got more congrats emails, texts, and phone calls. And I'm still getting those from people that are seeing it late, but I think it'll hit me more for sure on October 20th.
Yeah, this is pretty remarkable, and you're going to be presented with the honor on that date, and it's the new Hall of Fame building that will open in Frisco on that date. So this is a big deal, and it is also great that these names that you just mentioned, including yours, it is great that there is recognition of people like yourself, because you have been devoted to the game of soccer in this country. You have been a part of it in the early beginnings. You have gone through the periods where nobody seemed to really care about it. to the point where that has certainly changed exponentially. So, you know, through your lens, this has been an amazing journey.
Yeah. And at one point, Glenn, I was the only guy doing it, you know, years and years ago when you were a player, actually. The only soccer in this country, you know, live television was Major Indoor Soccer League. And I was the voice of that. And there was no real outdoor league that we had. You know, you couldn't watch Premier League games. There was no Major League Soccer. So, you know, I was doing it. And in fact, since I was the only guy doing it, Glenn, I needed to do other things, right? So I thought, you know, if I'm the only guy doing this, what happens if, you know, another network takes it over and they don't want me to do it? Now I'm out. I have nothing, right? So I started doing a little bit more college basketball and some other sports just in case, you know, that dried up for me. And instead, you know, it's opened up to a point where there are so many other very good broadcasters, including yourself out there, making a full-time living in soccer. Back then, it was just me and not making much money at all going back in the mid-'80s. But now, a lot of guys like you and others are making a good living calling the game that they love.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It beats a real job, you know, JP? You know, if you're involved in something you love, and I know this has been so fascinating, your career, to see the sport get to where it is. Give me one or two of your favorite moments. And I know that's going to be difficult, and I know people are going to ask you those questions. But out of all these games you've called at all levels, any one or two that specifically stick out?
Two for sure, because I think that they're the most famous calls that I've had, and they were so long ago. You know, the Caligiuri goal, because I think that changed everything with soccer in this country. You know, I called it originally, I think, the shot heard around the world. That's what everybody called it. But I've changed that, Glenn, to calling it the billion-dollar goal, because I think soccer, you do all the math, that Caligiuri goal has produced billions of dollars with our soccer system. There was no MLS, and now, you know, we have 21 teams, and soon we'll have 23, and at some point we'll have 30. And all the sponsorship that came in, and all these other leagues, you know, USL and the old NASL and indoor, and, you know, there's just so much that's going on now in the soccer world, and it all started with that goal, you know, all of these rights fees. It was Caligiuri's goal. So that's the one for sure, because that got the U.S. started on a trend of making every World Cup until, unfortunately, the last one. And then the second one was the Chastain goal. Yes, it's only a penalty kick, but, man, was it ever an important penalty kick. And it came, you know, it not only put women's soccer on the map, but also put soccer on the map. And I think one of the things that people forget about, Glenn, at the time, was that we were coming off the 1998 World Cup, where the U.S. finished last. And we were kind of embarrassed by the way, you know, the team's record was in that tournament. You know, there was a lot of hype before it, but we finished dead last in that competition. So the next year to come in and have the women win it in front of record crowds, record television audience. So those are the two goals that I would say I remember the most.
And by the way, those come in the span of 10 years. 89, it was Caligiuri, and this is JP with that iconic call in Trinidad. The entire stadium is there for Trinidad because they think they're going to the World Cup.
Yep.
And then 10 years later, you're in the Rose Bowl, and nobody ever thought women's soccer could draw that incredible crowd, and you were there for that call. So that's pretty good. Strangest thing that's ever happened to you on the road, JP?
On the road?
Yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah.
You know what?
Because you've been all over the world.
Yeah. All right.
Might be Russia.
No. I'll give you one because it just came to me. I was with the ESPN guys that you know yesterday, Taylor Twellman, Adrian Healy, Sebastian Salazar, and Mark Connolly. You know, we were all reminiscing about things. And Taylor and I didn't talk about this because we were talking about so many different things. But I remember one of the games that I did with Taylor. I believe it was the first road game, second year of the team, in Los Angeles. We were told that, you know, we travel with a team, we're there, we're doing the game, and we were told that they could not get audio up to the press box. Yeah. Before the game, we find out, maybe an hour before the game. So everybody's scrambling around, what are we going to do? We ended up calling that game off the monitor. At that time, it was the Home Depot Center. In the what's that entrance, where the buses are parked. And one of the buses is actually running. Taylor said later that you could smell the diesel fuel. So we're in the tunnel calling the game off the monitor inside the stadium. I would say that's pretty strange.
Yeah, that is pretty strange. And you've had a few of those, I'm sure. How about some advice? Because I get these questions, and I know you do a lot. People asking you, young people, advice, college students, advice, how to get into broadcasting. What would be a couple pieces of advice JP Della Camera would give to young aspiring commentators?
I would say young aspiring commentators should first of all listen to the guys that are already out there in Major League Soccer that have working assignments, and you know, listen to how they call games. And you don't want to mimic them for sure, but take some of the good things that you think one guy has and maybe somebody else, you know, until you have your own style. But I think the advice I would give is to be yourself, number one, not to really emulate anyone, just be yourself. And I think, Glenn, never be bigger than the game, because that's not what we're supposed to do, right? Broadcasters should enhance the game for the TV viewer or the radio listener. We shouldn't be bigger than the event. You know, it's not about how much we know or, you know, how much we want to talk about this goal or this particular play. You know, it's the game, right? The game is the most important thing. So I think be true to the game, be true to yourself, and network. Got to network. Got to look for these jobs, right? Because the jobs don't come out and find you. Not when you're that young. You have to find those jobs.
Do you see that changing? Have you seen changes in the way commentators handle games based on the growth and obviously the impact that social media has now?
Well, I don't know, because you mentor some young aspiring broadcasters, I'm sure, and so do I. And one of the satisfactions, I guess, that I get is when I'm asked to give criticism, first of all, it's always constructive criticism. And when I give that instruction or that little tweak, to hear them the next game or two games later doing it that way, you know, that makes me feel good because I know that they're listening. I think you probably feel the same way as I do. As many years as I've done this, Glenn, I still think I learn about the game and about the sport. You know, sitting there last night with you, you and I would both much rather have been working that game than sitting there and watching it, right?
For sure.
But we're not. We're watching it as fans, right? And I'm listening to you. You're a former player. You're an excellent play-by-play guy, and you're telling me stuff about the Dynamo, and I'm soaking it in like a sponge. I think that's what, you know, more people have to do. You know, there's a lot of knowledge out there still to be gained, so never think that you've learned it all or you know it all, because if you do, you may as well get out of it right now.
Yeah, kiss of death. Well, we had a great time last night, and I mean,
we did.
Listen,
we did.
By watching that game and the vantage point we had, and yeah, just going back and forth, you and me talking about stuff. That was a great night for me. I mean,
that was the addition to the result.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
we both wanted a different result because I was there working for the Philadelphia Union. You're working for the Houston Dynamo, but that's the way it goes, right? That's sports. Nobody would have thought it was going to be a lopsided game, you know, which it ended up being. But that's the way it goes. On this night, Houston was the better team. I've always liked Manotas. I've liked Manotas from, I think, 3 years ago, whenever it was that he came into the league. And I still think this kid has upside. I'm wondering, you know, when he's going to be called into Columbia. At some point, wouldn't he have to be?
I would imagine he's being monitored. If he's not, they better start monitoring him now, because yeah, he's young, he's talented,
and he's very good,
and he's been so much fun, you know, from my perspective, to watch him on a daily basis down here and see him grow as a person, see him add things to his game. I think last night, in some ways, even though a lot of us who are in the business are focused on him, I think because that was a game on national television and he produced in that moment, I think it's just going to blossom him more in the eyes of people.
Yeah, he was definitely a difference maker in that game. You know, so much so that when he took that ball on the second goal, and as soon as he makes that move inside, you know, I can't predict that Blake is going to get a touch on it. I can't predict that it's going to go off the post and in. But I had that strong sense he's going to score no matter what. He had that look, you know, that determination. He had the angle, and nothing was going to stop him. And that was a killer goal, as it turned out.
What's your favorite thing about calling a game, JP?
I think the fact, Glenn, that every game is different, I would say. Even if you call a game where, you know, two teams don't have a chance to advance, there's still something to play for. You know, players still want to play the game. So I think that that's probably it, you know, that every game is different. And I love the sport, too, right? I'm a fan. So I'm going to go to the game if I can. If I'm not working, I would like to go to the game. So I love the sport. And I think that I've always relayed this to others. You know, when we call a game, you and I and everybody else, right, you do all this studying for the game. And what you study is sort of like you're in college, right? You're studying for your exam. The game is the exam. So that's where you show what you're prepared for. So I think that's the part of it that I like. You know, there's you do all this prep work, you do it all, but then you get to see a result when you call a game. And you know as well as I do, some games you think, boy, that was not a great show. And there's other games where you say, I think everybody nailed it. This was a great show.
Yeah.
And then you keep going. You try to do better the next time, regardless.
And I think one thing that I certainly know this from your perspective, and I know it from mine, we all appreciate that we're a part of a larger thing when it's a broadcast that comes to town. There's so many people doing so many jobs. There's so many people helping you with your job. And we certainly appreciate all the people that work on a broadcast. And I don't think the general public understands there's people moving cables, setting up booths, trucks coming in, producers, directors, cameramen. I mean, we can go on and on to what goes into this thing. The other thing I've always loved about your call, and you know, I learned this from you because I started as an analyst, and you very much helped me when I made the transition to play-by-play, which I thought was going to be an advantage for me, having, you know, played at a decent level. But when not to talk, that's an art.
I learned that from Musburger, from Brent Musburger. I respected guys like him and Al Michaels and Bob Costas, but, you know, the drama part, knowing when to talk, when not to talk, when to lay out for big moments, you know, I think I learned that from Brent Musburger's call. But when I advise even analysts, when analysts ask me for pointers, I say to them, go back to the tape, watch the game that you just did, and listen to what you said and how you said it. Could I have said it any better? Could I have been more concise? And then the other thing I say is, you have to say it there. You know, could you have let that take a deeper breath? You know, could you have let that game breathe a little bit more? You know, did you force that in? And likewise, were there other parts of the game where you were quiet, where, boy, could have gotten in a nice 10-second bit about Manotas. I could have gotten in 15 seconds on Elise and the kind of training that he had this week. You have to look at it both ways. There are some times where maybe you talk where you shouldn't, and other times where you should have and you didn't. And it's the same with play-by-play.
No question. I get in my car after the game and I'm like, wow, I could have been more economical with my words here.
Are you like me, Glenn, in the sense that, you know, when you're doing the game, you might say something, you know, you might go into like a story, and then as soon as you do, you're thinking, you know, I know better, right? Or I didn't know the ball was going to get turned over like that. Like, you know right away. You know what I mean? You don't have to listen to a replay later. You already know, right? If you say, the guy, you misidentify a player, you already know it. You don't find out later when you watch the back. You already seem to know it.
Correct.
At least I think so.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question. And I, you know, these iconic moments that come, you're just fortunate to be in the position.
Fortunate to be there. Key word, my friend, right? Because, you know, I have called a lot of big goals and been involved in big games. And part of that is fortune and luck and good health and all of that stuff. You know, if you can only do so much, right? You can only control so much. But you still have to have some luck along the way, whether it's somebody believing in you somewhere or you know, you lose a job with one network, you get a job at another network. You know, there's breaks that come your way, and there's breaks that don't go your way, and you just keep plugging along.
Yeah. Good fortune definitely describes my career, and I think that's a great point you make that, you know, there's all these people that have given both you and I, and I'm not speaking for you, and nor should I, but that have given opportunities to us that, you know, hopefully we're ready to take advantage of. So,
yep.
Listen, this is great. This is amazing. October 20th, JP will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And when that new building opens up in Frisco, Texas, it's the Colin Jose Media Award. Very few people have gotten it. There is no guy that is more deserving of it than JP Della Camera. And I thank you for coming on tonight, JP.
Anytime, Glenn. Absolutely my pleasure.
All right, that's J.P. Della Cameron. You name it, he's called it. World Cups, men and women's, Olympics, and he is also the head man for the Philadelphia Union, was in town last night, had a great time with him. We'll take a quick break here before we go to break. Just a quick reminder here. We do thank Kings Court down in Edo, 903 Hutchins, Shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. There are 13 monitors in there, all kinds of supporters groups make that their home. All your soccer watching desires are covered. They got an amazing rooftop deck. Get up there on the deck. The Indian food, this is a secret I'm going to give you right now. The curries and some of the lamb and the Indian food that's down there is exceptional at the Kings Court. Go down there, say hello to Jay. Great food, staff, selection of bar and cocktails, all at great prices. Kings Court, we'll take a Bud Light break.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.